Gemara's bringing the hooks on.
Gemara. Okay, so we're on Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph. We're in the middle of the dispute between Rav and Shmuel and Rebbe Lazar. The question being, we know a person can bequeath to his son a debt, and a person bequeath to his son a right to swear, and the swearing would then trigger the debt. Rebbe Lazar says yes. Rav and Shmuel say no. No, we were towards the bottom.
The bottom.
Okay.
Yeah. So, let's start. We can start from the wide lines here. Ela Amar Rav Nachman. So, rather, Rav Nachman said, right? We had gotten up to that point. Ela Amar Rav Nachman on the wide lines. Isa l'dravu d'Shmuel Isa. If Rav and Shmuel are right, so then they're right. Lesa lesa. If they're not right, then they're not right. In other words, Al Masafkala, he didn't know. So the Gemara asks, how could that be? Rav Yosef Ben Yumi Avad Rav Nachman Uvdu Yachloku. Rav Nachman, you know, he's not sure. He says that when both sides can't swear, they just divide up. So Gemara says, well, Ludvar Avdu Rabbi Meir Kamar. Rabbi Meir says, Chazah Shvulim Koma. So he's not sure if Rav and Shmuel are right. V'lei lo sfirlei, it's not what he himself holds. Master Rav Oshia. So Rav Oshia challenged this. We learned back in Masechta Ksubos. Mesa, if the wife died, Yorsheh Maskirnes Ksubasa, her heirs can still invoke her Ksuba at Esrim V'chameh Shanim for another 25 years. One second. Her heirs, one, she can only collect with an oath. How could her heirs even get it? We're talking about Shenishba, she already swore. And then Umesa, then she died. Tashma, come in here, proof from another Mishnah, another law in Ksubos. Nasri Shona, Umesa, a man married a first wife and she died. Nasa Shnia, and then he married a second wife, Umesu, and he dies. So Shnia, the second wife, or Yorsha, or her heirs, they're coming to get the Ksuba. Kod mili Yorsha Rishona. They collect before the heirs of the first wife, who are just coming to collect Yerusha, come. So in a second, how could anybody collect, how could her heirs collect? I mean, it would have to be inheriting an oath. No, Achanami Shnishba Umesa. She already swore, then she died. So they're not inheriting an oath. Tashma, come in here, proof. I think this is where we had gotten up to. We learned in another law about Ksuba. Avol Yarshav Mashbian Osa. But his heirs can make her swear. Or if she's not alive, Es Yarsha, they can make her heirs swear. Es Abayan Birshusa. And if she sold the Ksuba, right, they can make whomever she sold it to swear. So in a second, how could we make the heir swear? How do they even inherit anything? Amarav Shmaya, Rav Shmaya answered, Litzdad and Ketani. That Bryce is talking about different scenarios. Osa Balmana. If she's alive and she's a widow, then they can make her swear. Yorsheh, when we talk about making her heir swear, it's Begrusha. It's when she's divorced. And since she's divorced, when the husband divorced her, he owed her a ksuba without an oath, because he was still alive. And then she died during the lifetime of the husband. So what she gave over to her children is a full monetary obligation, not an oath. Okay. You ready? She doesn't need to swear. She gives over to her children a full monetary obligation, because he's still alive. That's what they're inheriting.
With ketuba or without?
Yeah, with ksuba. We're talking ksuba. So now, a further question on Shmuel. Masa Rav Nachman Bar Hoshia, Rav Nachman Bar Hoshia challenged Shmuel. We learned in a brisa, Yafa Koach HaBen Mikoach HaAv. The power of a child of a lender is stronger than the power of the lender himself. Now starting Mem Ches Mei Beis. Shaben Gova Bein B'Shvua Bein Shelo B'Shvua. A child will sometimes collect with an oath. Sometimes he doesn't need to swear. V'Avino Govel B'Shvua. Whereas a father needs to swear in order to collect. So, hey, chidami, what's the case here where the father needs to swear? If the borrower dies when the lender is still alive, so now the lender needs to swear to collect because he's collecting from orphans. The Katani, and then the Brisa goes on to say, Shaben gova bein b'shvua bein shelo b'shvua. Sometimes the son swears, sometimes the son doesn't have to swear. So what is it referring to? B'shvua, swearing, he collects with an oath. Shvuas Yorshin. That means, under normal circumstances, he has to swear that the dead is still here. I haven't heard from my father that it was gone. And what does it mean, Shalom B'Shvuah, that the son can sometimes collect without an oath, where the father always would need to swear? The father always needs to swear because he's collecting from orphans, but the son wouldn't need to swear in a case, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that if there are witnesses that the father said explicitly, the oath is the vow, the loan is still good. So then if the father said explicitly the loan is good, then the child can collect even without swearing. That's the view of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah. So what do you see, though? You see, though, that the child is inheriting the debt that the father could only trigger with an oath. The father needs to swear. The child maybe needs to swear, maybe doesn't. So Rav Yosef answered, it's not a proof to Shmuel. I'm sorry, it's not a proof against Shmuel. Hamani Beis Shammai. This price is the view of Beis Shammai. We're talking about where there was a loan document. And Amri Beis Shammai hold in terms of loan documents, Shtar Omid Ligvos Kegavui Dami. When you have a loan document saying somebody owes you the money, that is already considered that you've already collected the money. So therefore, since there's a loan document, then the children can inherit that, even though to collect from orphans, because they're not collecting, they're not inheriting a right to swear. They're inheriting money that already was collected. So according to Beis Shammai, certainly they don't agree with Rav and Shmuel. Beis Shammai would say that since the loan document is already collected, even if the borrower dies first, then the lender dies. If the lender had a loan document, the children collect with the loan document. They have to swear, yes, there is the oath of the heirs, but the loan document is already as if the money was in the hands of father. So that's not inheriting an oath right. That's inheriting money. The money is already in the hands of father. So the loan is as if it's collected. So therefore, that's the view of this brisa that the children inherit.
I don't get it. The loan was already collected by their father?
It wasn't actually collected. It's considered collected because it's a loan document. Because a loan document is a lien on property, so that's already collected.
What does that mean, considered collected?
That's exactly what it is. It's considered collected. Halacha treats it as if it was collected already, as if it's money.
And father still would have needed to swear that?
Father would have had to swear, yes, because of the orphans. But that doesn't mean that the children can't inherit it. Okay, now some stories. Halacha lemais. Again, there's an argument between Rav and Shmuel and Reb Elezer. If the borrower dies first, and then the lender dies, do the children of the lender inherit the right to swear and trigger a loan obligation or no? Rabbi Lezer says they do. Rav and Shmuel say no. They inherit money. They don't inherit rights to swear. So Ikla Rav Nachman Lasura. Rav Nachman came to Sura. Ula Gaber Rav Chizkiya Rav Baravuna. Rav Chizkiya Rav Baravuna came to see him. Amrule, they said to him, Rav Chizkiya Rav Baravuna, Leisimar, let Rav Nachman come. All right, let Rav Nachman join us. Now we'll have three. We'll have Rav Chizkiya, Rav Baravuna, and Rav Nachman. And Ne'akri Lahad Rav Shmuel. Let's uproot Rav and Shmuel's law. In other words, people, the judges were following Rav and Shmuel. That when a borrower died and then a lender died, so when the borrower died, it became an oath obligation. Then when the lender died, they would refuse to let the children now swear, because they'd say you can't inherit a loan, you can't inherit an oath right. So let's uproot it. Let's stop it. Let's make people go like Rabbi Lazar. And let's say that the heirs can swear and collect. Amluhu, Sir Rav Nachman said back to them, Ichpali vasoi kolhani parsi lemakra lahad Rav Shmuel. Do you think I worked so hard to walk so many parsos just to uproot the rule of Rav and Shmuel, to stop people from passing Rav and Shmuel? I can't do that. Elohavud lo losef ala. What you can do is like this. You prepare yourselves, join me, and let's make a takana. Rav and Shmuel's law was in that case. When the borrower died first, and then the lender. But in any other case, similar though it might be, then we won't follow Rav and Shmuel, then we'll follow Reb Elezer. So So Kagon Mai. So what's a similar case that you're saying we're not going to follow Rav and Shmuel in? I'll tell you. I'm Rav Papa. Rav Papa said like this. Hapogei Meshtara. Let's say a person comes with a loan document. The loan document says that Shimon owes Reuven $100. Reuven brings in the loan document. Reuven says, though, but listen, you know, Shimon already paid me 30 of the 100. So he already is discounting the shtar. He's damaging the shtar. So that, the halach is, he has to swear now on the other 70. So if that's a case of an oath obligation, not an oath obligation because it's collecting from orphans, it's an oath obligation because the lender has ruined his own proof. Vameis, and then the lender dies. Yorshin. So then we don't follow Rav and Shmuel. We say that the heirs, Nishboi and Shmuel, Yorshin, they swear the oath of heirs, they notlin, and they do collect.
Rabbi, if the children are underage, can their mother do the oath?
No, the apotropos.
So it's up to the Bezdin.
The Bezdin's appointed attorney.
Okay.
A story. Hahud Shachiv, there was a man who died. A lender, a borrower died. He died first. The Shavik Arva. So they were orphans, plus there was a guarantor of the loan. So Savra Papa Lameimar, so Papa said, okay, here too. Hanami Dulalosif Allahu. This is again the same story we just said. We said, but the law of Rav and Shmuel, that if the borrower dies first, and then the lender dies, we're not going to give to the children of the lender the ability to swear and collect. That's true if the borrower died first, and then the lender and the children of the lender are trying to collect from the orphans of the borrower. But here, they were not trying to collect from the children of the borrower. We're trying to collect from the guarantor. So since we're trying to collect from the guarantor, that's okay. That's not the case of Rav and Shmuel. Samle Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, said to Rav Papa, no, if you're going to allow the children, the heirs of the lender, to go collect from the guarantor, to Arv Alavbas or Yasmi Azli, what's the guarantor going to do? He's going to pay, then he's going to go to the orphans. So now again, you're violating what's been already accepted as the norm to follow Rav and Shmuel, and therefore you can't do it. That's not adding to Rav and Shmuel. That is the law of Rav and Shmuel.
Rav and Shmuel comes in only when the borrower dies before the...
The borrower dies first, okay. And then
that's
the lender dies.
Otherwise, if the lender dies, it's not Rav
Correct.
And Shmuel anymore.
That's right.
Okay.
So now the Gemara says, you've limited Rav and Shmuel, right? We said that if the oath obligation is there because of orphans, that's when you have Rav and Shmuel. If the oath obligation is there because of something else, because the document's been discounted, then we don't have the law of Rav and Shmuel. Now another story. Ahud Shachiv, there was a man who died with Shavak Acha, and he left a brother. So again, it was a case where the borrower died first, then the lender died, but it wasn't that the lender had children, the lender had a brother. So Savar Rami Bar Chamala Meimar Hanami Dulalosef Allahu. Okay, this is again. We said, really, we don't like Rav and Shmuel. We really like Rav Elazar, that a child should be able to inherit the right to just swear and then collect money. That we said that we wanted to join with Rav Nachman and get rid of Rav and Shmuel. But Rav Nachman, I can't. You know, it's too widely accepted. So this is not exactly Rav and Shmuel's case, because this is a brother, not the children. Amalei Rav, Rav said, no. Mali shelo pakadni abba, mali shelo pakadni achi. Children are going to swear the oath of heirs. Father didn't tell us that it's paid off. What's a brother going to swear? Brother didn't tell me that it's paid off. It's the same thing. This is the law of Rav and Shmuel. The brother is an heir. The brother can't inherit an oath. He inherits money. Can't inherit an oath. So here also, he wouldn't be able to swear and collect. All right, what's the halacha? And these are all Rav and Shmuel's became popular. Rav Nachman had a hard time reversing it. What's the halacha? So Amar Rav Chama said, Hashad lo itmei hilchas alok Rav Shmuel v'lok Rav Elazar. We don't know that the halacha is like Rav and Shmuel, that who say that the heirs cannot swear and collect when they're trying to inherit from their father a right to impose an oath, or a right to invoke an oath. We don't know if halacha is like Rav Elazar that they can. So hi, Dayana David Rav Shmuel of it. If a judge paskins in a case like Rav and Shmuel, it's fine. David Rav Elazar of it. If you paskin like Rav Elazar, it's also fine. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, Hai Shtar Diyasmi, this situation of a loan document of orphans, when the borrower of their father died first, and then their father, the lender, died, and their father had to swear, and now their father dies. So says Rav Papa, this type of a document, lo mikra karinin lei, we don't tear up the document, v'lo gvuya magvinim be, but we also don't tell the orphans, go swear and collect with it. Gvuya lo magvinim be, we don't tell the orphans, you can swear and collect with it, dilma sfir lan k'rav u'shmuel, because maybe Rav and Shmuel are the ones who are right, and since the borrower died first, the father who was the lender had an obligation to swear, and when he has an obligation to swear, there's nothing for him to bequeath to his children. On the other hand, we can't tear up this loan document. Because we just said, Rav Papa said that if you do paskin like Rav Elazar and allow the children to swear and inherit the oath and collect, it also works. Okay. Hahudayana, there was a judge, in fact, David Kribalazar. He paskin like Rav Elazar. The borrower died first. The lender had to swear to the orphans, and then the lender died. And he paskin like Rav Elazar. He said that the children of the lender could swear the oath of the heirs, and they could collect. There was a Talmud Chacham in that town. Amar Leis, the Talmud Chacham said to the judge, I got a letter from the West, from Eretz Yisrael, that halacha is not like Rav Elazar, and halacha is like Rav and Shmuel. That in this case, since the father only would have had to swear himself, he can't bequeath anything to the children. So Amar Leis, so the judge said to him, well, l'chitaisi, bring me the letter. I'll believe it when I see it. Asa l'kamed Reb Chama. So this time Reb Chama went to Reb Chama to ask, what's the halacha? Amar Leis, Reb Chama told him what we just learned from Rav Papa. Hadayana David kibbalazar avad. We just said, we don't know that halacha is not like Rav and Shmuel. We don't know that halacha is like Rav and Shmuel. And if a judge follows Reb Elazar, it's okay. This is a judge who followed Reb Elazar, so it's okay. It was fine that he collected. The father could have bequeathed to the children the right to swear and collect.
Did he ever show him the letter, Rabbi?
No, he didn't. The Mishnah then goes on to say at the end of the Mishnah, Elu Nishbain Shlo B'taina. We have situations where people will swear even though there isn't a definitive claim against them. Let's say two partners, and one partner says, I think you stole from me. So Gemara says, one second. Does the partner not have to say anything? Are we talking about lunatics that just volunteer to take on investigations or volunteer to do depositions when they're not asked for it? When who's crazy enough to swear under oath when he doesn't have to swear under oath? So, this is what it means. These are people that will swear even if there wasn't a definitive claim against them. I know you stole from me 400. No, it was, maybe you stole from me 400. So you have to swear. But there was a demand for the oath. That's why the guy is swearing. All right, going further about the different cases where a person swears with Taina Shema. So we spoke about partners, sharecroppers, Tana. We learned in a Braisa, Ben Baisham, when it says a member, the person running the household swears, Lo Shenichas V'yotzi B'ragel, not someone who's always coming in and out of the house. He doesn't have to swear because of a possible claim. Hello, we're talking about a guy who's running the business. Machnis lo paulin, he hires the workers. Umotzi lo paulin, he fires the workers. Machnis lo peros, umotzi lo peros, he buys stuff, he sells stuff. The manager of my store. So the manager of my store, I'm not always there to see what he's doing. If I think that he was stealing a bit, he has to swear, even though it's just a doubtful claim. Umayish nahani, why are these people made to swear with their rabbinic oath, even with just a doubtful claim? Answer the Gemara, Mishum Demora Bahatera, because people who do a lot of work rationalize that they can take a bit. You know, a sharecropper, a partner, a store manager, he says, I work so hard, you know, the store owner is not compensating me the way I deserve, I'm doing so much, I'm making so much for him, I can take a little bit for myself. So since they paskin for themselves that it's okay to take, that's why the rabbis legislated an oath on them. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Menuhin, Amar Rav Nachman, he said the name of Nachman, but it has to be somewhat of a similar to the biblical oath. That the store owner says to the store manager, I think you caused me a loss of, you stole from me 2 kesef. You know, biblically, 2 kesef is the amount that you can have an oath about. And he's saying, no, and then, okay, so swear. It's not a definitive claim. I know you stole from me 2 kesef. It's, I think you stole from me 2 kesef. And one second, 2 kesef? What, come on, Kishmuel? Are you saying that Allah is like Shmuel, that you create the biblical oath of the Dayanim when the matter is about 2 kesef? Hatani repealis you the Rav. But if you go back to last parak, we learned a brisa like Rav, it's not that the matter has to be 2 kesef, the denial has to be 2 kesef. Actually, the claim is 2 kesef and a pruta, but the denial amount is 2 kesef. Yeah. That's what it means here. Ema kfiras taina kirav. What we're saying is there is an oath imposed, even when it's a doubtful claim, so long as it was a doubtful claim about a denial of 2 kesef. Denial of 2 kesef. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, chalkwa shutvim varisin, if the partners divided up, then they can't make each other swear anymore because they've already divided. But if the partner had to swear for some other reason, then we can roll on him to swear this too. So we by the way had a question in the yeshiva. We have a concept called Gilgal Shvua. You can roll an oath on a person. Once he's swearing about one thing, he should swear about other things. That's true when he's obligated in a biblical oath. What about if he was just obligated in a rabbinic oath? Can a rabbinic oath attract to it other oaths? Tashma, coming here, approve. We learned it in Braisa. Love a manu, Erev Shvius. A man borrows from his friend on the 6th year of the Shemitah. Ulmotzoi Shvius, Nasalo Shutafo Aris. And after Shemitah, he becomes a partner or a sharecropper with his friend. So now he's going to have to swear to be about the partnership issues. When he swears about the partnership issues, Ein Megalglov. We can't also roll onto him an oath about the loan, because the loan was already knocked out with Shemitah, and the oath about the loan was knocked out with Shemitah. So, taima delavei menu erev shvius. Why is that? We can't make him swear about the loan because he borrowed in the 6th year. Dasu shvius afkate. Now it's the 8th year. Shvius Shemitah has knocked out the loan and knocked out the oath about the loan. Hush arshne shavua. It sounds like if it's not a loan of the 6th year with Shemitah, then Megalglin, once he's asked to swear as a partner, he'll have to swear about other things too. He can swear about what he denies entirely. He'll be made to swear because he's swearing about the partnership. So why is it not a proof? Lo tema hush arshne shavua Megalglin. The proof here is not, the point here is not to say, but if it's a loan of another year, we could roll it onto him. Elemo, but rather the way to read it is, Nasalo shutaf. Oh, Aris, Erev Shvius, if he became a partner or a sharecropper in the 6th year, the year when he had taken the loan, Ulamotzaish, and then they divided up, Ulamotzaish, Vias Lavaymenu, and then after Shemitah, he didn't take the loan in the 6th year, he took the loan in the 8th year, Ulamotzaish, Vias Lavaymenu, in the 8th year he took the loan, so the way to read the Brice is Megalglin, so since, he might have to swear a biblical oath. Let's say he has to swear a biblical oath for the loan because he admitted to part of it. So then we can roll on to him also that he has to swear about the partnership, even though Shemitah normally knocks out loans. Once we're rolling a loan, once we're rolling oaths, we can roll in this oath as well. So Gemara says, what's that?
They strike the word ain?
Yeah, they're rewriting the whole brisa. So Gemara says, what do you mean? That's what the Brisa is saying. That's already in another Brisa. The Brisa says, Nasa lo shutafo aris erev shvius, if he became a partner in the 6th year. Ulamotzai shvius lave menu. And in the 8th year, he borrows, and then he has to swear about the borrowing. Megalgan, you can roll on him to swear about the partnership too. So you see that... Shmaminas, you see from the Braisa, Megalglin Bidrabanan. So you're right, we see that the first idea is the right idea. That when you have a rabbinic oath, you can roll other oaths in. Because we already know this law that the oath of the partners can be rolled in. Shmaminas, so that is a good proof. Even a rabbinic oath can roll in other oaths as well. Amar Rav Huna said, Lakol Megalglin, normally whenever there's a rabbinic oath, you can roll in other oaths too. The only exception is chutz misachir. The only exception is the rabbinic oath given to the employee that he can swear that he wasn't paid. Shein megalgin, that doesn't roll other oaths in as well, because that was just in vogue to make the employer feel better. Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda had a different version of this. Lakol ein makilin. For all people, Bezdin is not lenient with them. Rather, Bezdin is strict with them. Once they have to swear, they make them swear about other things too. Chutz misachir de makilin. Except for an employee, when he swears, Bezdin is lenient with him. They don't make him swear about other things too. So, my binai, what's the difference between these two versions of how to say the same halacha? The basic law is that a guy who is swearing as an employee doesn't get other oaths too. So, ikabinayu, the difference is liftoachlo. Do we give him advice? In other words, do we tell someone, once you're getting oaths, why don't you get some more oaths for yourself? According to Rav Huna, the judges advise a toveya, once you're getting the nitva to swear to you, get him to swear about other things also. And according to Rav Chisda, the judges never advise a toveya to ask for other oaths too. But if a toveya is asking for other oaths, once he had an oath, they would make the nitva swear. They're not mekel, they're not lenient on the nitva to let him out of the oaths, with the exception being the case of sachir. Okay, and that's the last point of the Mishnah, is Hashvius, the Shemitah knocks out oaths, the same way it knocks out loans. Minan, immediately, how do we know that Shemitah knocks out an oath obligation? Am Rav Gidol Merav, Amar Kra, the Zedvara Shemitah. This is the matter of Shemitah. Applying Afilu Dibur Mishametes, even words are knocked out. Hajan Allah, Kalan Ishbaim, Be'ezus Hashem, Yisbarah. All right, the last parak, which is just one daf, daf mem tes, is very familiar to us from Masechet Bav Metzia, and it deals with the fact that there are four shomrim. Arba shomrim heim. We know there are four different types of watchmen. Shomer chinam, an unpaid watchman, he's only responsible if it was negligent. Shoel, a borrower, is responsible for everything, even for mesa, even if it drops dead on its own, he's only exempt if mesa machmas malacha dies because of the work it was borrowed to do. No, say Sachar, a paid watchman, he's responsible for Gneva Aveda, for theft and loss, but he's exempt for Shvuro Mesa, if it drops dead, or it suddenly breaks a leg. Vasocher, and a renter, he has the status of a Shomer Sachar. So the Mishnah explains, Shomer Chinam Nishbalakol. If anything happens to the animal, the unpaid watchman swears that he wasn't negligent, and he is then exempt. A borrower has to pay for whatever happens. No say sachar vasocher, a renter or a paid watchman. Nishbarin alashvura valashvuyav alamesa. They swear if the animal was taken captive, if the animal dropped dead, if the animal broke a leg. They say we swear that it happened without any fault of ours. However, mishalman, but a paid watchman has to pay for aveda if the animal gets lost, or gneva if the animal is stolen. So let's review a basic point. We've learned about something called shvuas hapikadon, the watchman's oath. The watchman's oath is if a watchman swears, and his oath is to buttress a claim that would exempt him of money, and then he admits, you know, I was lying, it wasn't true. So then he has to pay the amount, he has to pay a fine, a penalty of 20%, he has to bring a karban asham. But if his oath was not going to exempt him from money, so that's not the watchman's oath anymore. If there's no kfiras mamon, there's no watchman's oath, he won't have these laws of bringing the asham and paying the fine. So now a case. Amar l'shomer chinam, the owner of an ox says to an unpaid watchman, hey, chanshori, hey, give me back my ox that you were doing me a favor of watching. Amar lo, the unpaid watchman says, mace, the ox dropped dead. Voo, but the truth, and he swore about it. But in truth, nishbar, the ox didn't drop dead, it broke a leg. Oh, nishba, it didn't drop dead, it was taken captive. Oh, nignav, it didn't drop dead, it was stolen. Oh, avad, or it gotten lost. Or, I say to the watchman, give me back my ox, and the watchman says, nishbar, it broke a leg. But the real truth is, meso nishba, o nignav, o avad. It didn't break a leg, it had died, or it had been captive, or it had been stolen, or it had been lost. Or I said to him, give me back my ox, and he says, nishba, it was taken captive. Ooh, but the real truth is, shemes, that it died. Oh, nishba, or nignav, o avad. Or it broke a leg, or it got stolen, or it was lost. Or I said to him, give me back my ox, and he says, nignav, it was stolen. Now again, he's an unpaid watchman. He's exempt from paying if it was stolen. But that's not the truth. It wasn't really stolen. But what the truth is, he also would have been exempt. It died, or it was taken captive, or it was lost. Or he told me, but it was lost, but the real truth is, v'ushameso nishbar nishbar nignav. And I said to Mashbiachani, okay, so swear to me, what you said is the truth. V'amar amin, he said amin. And then he admits that he lied, but he's still exempt. But I don't know why he lied. He could have said the truth, but he lied. So now, Potter, he doesn't have to bring the carbon of Shvuas HaPikadon. Why? Because his claim is not a claim that was exempting him from money. Anyway, it was exempt from the money. So that's not called Shvuas Kfiras Mamon. All right, let's say I go to the Shomer Chinam, the unpaid watchman. I say to him, Eichon Shori, okay, where's my ox? Amar Lo, and he says to me, Eini Yodea Ma'atasach. I don't even know what you're talking about. I never met you. I don't know who you are. I don't know what ox.
Me no speak English.
I never met you. For who? And the truth is that he did get the ox from me, but Mace, it died. Oh, Nishbar, or it broke a leg. Oh, Nishbar was taken captive. Oh, Nignav, or it was stolen. Oh, Avat. So if he would have said the truth, and he does know me, but the thing died, he also would have been exempt. But he didn't. He didn't say the truth. And I said to him, Ashbiachani, I'm making you swear. For Amar Amin, he said, yes. Then he admits I lied. He's still pati. He doesn't have to bring the carbon. Because there's no kfiras mamon. He's not denying money with his oath. If I say to a shomer chinam, though, hey, chan shori, where is my ox? Oh, we'll get with that. What about shvuas hapikadon? But it's not shvuas, I'm sorry, what about shvuas bitui? It's not shvuas hapikadon. That's the important point. Shvuas bitui is carbon olivi, all right? It's not carbon asham. Hey, chan shori. So I say to him, to the unpaid watchman, where is my ox? Amar lo, he says, avad, it's lost. So I said, Mashbiachani, I'm making you swear. Amar amin, he said, yeah, fine. Meanwhile, the witnesses are testifying that it's not true that it got lost. He had a good steak meal. He ate the ox. So I'm mishalim. So now that's the classic case of Shvuas HaPikadon. He swore to exempt himself from what he should be paying. So now he has to pay a sakeren, he has to pay for the ox. And if Hodo Me'atzmo, if he admitted that he ate the ox, not that witnesses came and said that he ate the ox, Meshalim Karen, he has to pay the principal, the chomesh, and the fifth, the asham, he has to bring the carbon asham.
You know, the four times.
No, that's a ganav, that's a burglar who breaks in. He was a watchman. He got the property willfully. I gave it to him willfully. It's not different. If he were to swear that it was stolen from him, and then it would be different. Toin tainas ganav, but not when he was toin tainas avai. Yeah, what's the question, David?
The difference in this case is that so he actually enjoyed it. If he used it for his own purpose, then that's the case. Before, he wasn't...
The difference is because his claim here was a false claim, but it was helping him, it was getting him off the hook of what he really had to pay. In the other cases, it's a false claim, but anyway, he doesn't have to pay. So, all right, talking about a Shomer Chinam. I say to the Shomer Chinam, hey, Chan Shori, where's my ox? Amar lo, he says to me, Nignav, it was stolen. Amar, I say to him, Ashbiachani, I'm making you swear. Amar, Amen, he said, fine, I swear. Amen, the truth, I agree to that. Hey, Demidinoso, Shagnavo. Now, witnesses say he himself stole it. So that's the case where, since he claimed Gneva, and it was really him who was the Ganav, Meshalim Tashlume Kefal, he has to pay double. But Hodame Atzmo, if it's not, he has to pay the ox and another time the ox. Since he says that there was Gneva, and it's really him who's the Ganav, he's treated as the Ganav. But if Hodame Atzmo, if he admits on his own, not witnesses, that he stole, and Meshalim Karen V'chomish V'ashem, he has to pay the principal of fifth and bring the carbon ashem. All right, let's now talk of regular ganavim. Amar Lechad B'shuk, I tell a guy in the market, hey, Chan Shori Shaganavta, I know you're a burglar, I know you came into my house, where's my ox that you stole? V'u Amar Lo Ganavta, he said, I never stole. Hey, Demi, you know so Shaganavta, witnesses come with us, and they say, Zev's right, he stole from Zev. Oh, Meshalim Tishlum Ekefal, that's the classical case, he has to pay double. And if he slaughtered or he sold it, he has to pay 4 or 5. Now, this guy sees that the witnesses are coming, so he runs to the Bezdin. And he says, Ganavti, I stole. I didn't sell it or slaughter it. So now he's a mishana l'karen. So now he only has to pay the principal because he's a moda b'knas. Once he admits, he only pays the principal. He doesn't pay the fines.
If he ate the ox, is that double payment or he ate it?
He slaughtered it. If he slaughtered it, he has to pay four times.
Four times.
Amar l'shoach. I tell a borrower, hey, Chanshori, where's my ox that you borrowed from me? Amar lo. So the borrower says to me, mace. It dropped dead. Now, if a borrower borrows something and it drops dead, he still needs to pay. So it really doesn't matter. The truth is, it didn't drop dead. It broke a leg. Oh, Nishma, it was taken captive. Oh, Niknav, it was stolen. Oh, Ovid, it was lost. Or I say to him, where's my ox? And he says, Nishma, it broke a leg. Hushameis, oh, Nishma, oh, Niknav, oh, Ovid. Or I say to him, where's my ox? He says, Nishma, it was taken captive. Hushameis, really died. Oh, Nishma, or broke a leg. Oh, Niknav, it was stolen. Oh, Ovid, it was lost. I say to him, where's my ox? He says, Niknav, it was stolen. Hushameis, oh, Nishma, or Nishma, oh, Ovid. I say to him, where's my ox? He says, Ovid, it was lost. Hushameis, oh, Nishma, or Nishma, oh, Niknav. And I say to him, okay, Mashbiachani, I'm going to make you swear. Now it's an oath which is silly because he has to pay anyway. If he says, Nishbar Avad Meis, he still has to pay. He's a borrower. And he said, Amen. He said, yeah, I swear. And the truth is, it wasn't a true oath because it was something else. He said it was lost, but really it dropped dead. It doesn't matter. He's exempt from the laws of oaths. That's not going to be Shua Sapikadon because that's not, it's not an oath of Kfiras Mamon. It's not an oath getting him off the hook. He didn't get him off the hook. He still has to pay even with the oath. I say to a borrower, hey, Chanshori, where's my ox? Amrlo, he says to me, Eni Odea, Matasach. I don't know what you're talking about. Now, the truth really is, Vushemes, the ox had dropped dead. Onishbar was taken captive. It broke a leg. Onishbar was taken captive. Oniknav were stolen. Onavad or lost. So I say to him, okay, Mashbiachani, I'm making you swear. V'amar Amin. And he said the truth, yeah, okay, I swear. So now Chayiv. Because his claim, I don't know what you're talking about, was going to get him off the hook. Because he claimed he never got it. So he swore with a claim, he swore to buttress a claim that was going to get him off the hook. And it was false. So he has the laws of Shua Sabikadon. All right, now let's deal with other cases. Amar lo say sachar. I say to a guy who's being paid to watch, or a socher, or to a renter, hey, Chanshori, where's my ox? Amar lo. So the guy says to me, mace, it dropped dead. V'husha nishbar o nishba. Now the truth is it didn't drop dead, it broke a leg, or it was taken captive. Or I say to him, where's my ox? He says, Nishba, I broke a leg. Vushemes, he really dropped dead. Oh, Nishba was taken captive. Or I say to him, where's my ox? He says, Nishba was taken captive. Vushemes, oh, Nishba. But really, it was some other onus. I say to him, where's my ox? He says, Nignav. He says it was stolen. So he has to pay. And really, it wasn't stolen. Vushavad, it was lost. He also has to pay. I say to him, where's my ox? He said, Avad, it was lost. Vushenignav, really was stolen. I say to him, Mashbiachani, I'm making you swear. Amar Amin, he says, Amin. Again, Patri is exempt from the laws of Shvuos. Because it's not an oath to exempt your money. Meis onishbar, onishba. If he said it died, and really it was nishbar onishba. I'm sorry, he said meis or nishbar or nishba. V'husha nignav o avad, and really it was stolen. And I said mashbiachani, I'm making you swear. V'amar amin, he says amin. So that's an oath that's exempting him. It's an oath that it was ones, when really he was chayiv. So then chayiv, he has to pay. I asked him, where's the ox? He says, Avad, and really, Avad o Nignav. And he says it was lost or stolen. V'husha meis o nishbar o nishba. And really, it was, he's saying he has to pay. Really, he didn't have to pay because it was really dropped dead. Yeah. I said, Mashbiachani, I'm making you swear of Amram. And he said, yes. So Pachi is exempt because the oath is not exempting him. Zaklal, here's the rule for the whole Mishnah. Kala Meshana Michova Lechova. If he's claiming one thing, but had he claimed the real truth, he anyway would have been obligated. Or mipater lepater, he's claiming something to exempt himself. Had he claimed the truth, he also would have been exempt. Or mipater lechova, he's really exempt, but he's claiming something that makes him have to pay. And he swears, so pater, that doesn't have the law of Shua Sapikadon. Mechova lepater, if he's really obligated, but he's claiming something which will make him exempt, and he's swearing to that, then chayvi has the law of Shua Sapikadon. Zaklal, this is the rule, kol nishba lahakel alatzmo chayv. Somebody who swears to make life easier than what it should be for himself, he has to pay. If he's swearing to a claim that's going to make life more difficult for himself, pater, he's exempt. Says the Gemara, Man Tana Arba Shomrim. Who's the Tana of this Mishnah? I'm Rav, four different Shomrim. I'm Rav Nachman, Rav Baravur, it's Rav Meirhi. I'm Rav Leravler of Nachman. What do you mean? Me, Katana, Leslie Arba Shomrim. Is there anyone who doesn't agree with the idea that there are four Shomrim? This is the conversation. This is what I'm telling you. Who's the one who says that a renter has the status of a paid watchman? I'm a rabbi Rav or a Meir. Rabbi Rav says it's Rav Meir. So Gemara says, one second, Rav Meir. We know Rav Meir says the opposite. At the time we went to the Mishnah, Socher case in Mishan, what's the status of a renter? Rav Meir omekesho mechina. Rav Meir says a renter is an unpaid watchman. Rav Yehuda omekesho seisach. Rav Yehuda says he's a paid watchman. So Gemara answers, Rabbi Rav, Ipcha Tani. He had a different version of that brisa. Now asks the Gemara, Hani Arba. These are four shomrim havu shlosha, but they're really three. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Arba shomrim. They're four watchmen, the dinam shlosha with three different laws. All right, Amal Shomer Chinam. He tells an unpaid watchman, Hey Chonshori, where's my ox? Amal Echad Beshuk. And we had the case where he tells somebody in the market, Amal Shomer. He tells a Shomer Sachar, Hey Chonshomer. Amal Oini Odiyam Atasach. I know what you're talking about. Amal Rav. So Rav said the point of Roger. Kulam Turim Shuras Hashomrim. These people might be exempt from the watchman oath. But Chayav Nishim Shuas Bitu, they'd have to bring a carbon olive yored for a false oath. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, no, after Mishum Shuas Bitu, they're also exempt for a false oath. My Kamifki, what's the argument? That's the argument that we've seen earlier back in Shuas Bitu. Shmuel Savar Shmuel holds less of a lahaba. If you can't phrase the oath in the future tense, it's not Shuas Bitu. The Rav Savar, but Rav holds Isa Balav Vehain. As long as you can phrase it as a yes or a no, it is Shuas Bitu. So the Gemara says, "Why fliger b'chadas dimnu?" We already learned this argument. Didn't we? We learned shvuah shazarek ploni tzorolayam. If I say I swear that Yaakov threw a pebble into the sea, or shvuah shalozarek, an oath that he didn't swear, that he didn't throw it. Rav Amar Chayev. Rav says that shvuah spitu. Shmuel Amar Patish. Shmuel says that's exempt. Rav Amar Chayev tisa b'lav v'hen, because it could be yes or no. Leharau lehitiv. Or Shmuel Amar Patish. Shmuel says it's exempt. It's not leharau lehitiv to lesser b'lahaba. Because I can't swear Shmuel will throw a pebble into the rock. I can't control him about the future. So my answer is three. I need to say both arguments. Yes, Minim Bahaf would have said it here. Bakama Rav. Here Rav says it's law. Mishum Dumin Ashikam Mishtaba. Because he's swearing on his own. Avil Bahach. But in this case, the Beidina Mishavi Le Besim is putting an oath on him. Emamoda Le Shmuel. Maybe he would agree to Shmuel. Can Rav Amida, like Rav Amida, I'm Rav Amida, because Shmuel Shadiyana Mashmi and also. And Chayavan Alem Mishum Shvias Pitui. If the oath is imposed by Besim, it's not Shvias Pitui. If I would have said the argument here, Bakamar Shmuel, here Shmuel says it. Avil Bahach, but in that case, in Modele the Rav, that it is Shvuas Bitui. Tzvicha, that's why I needed to say both arguments. Okay, everyone's invited at 7 tonight for the Siyum in my home.